Stafford Steve and the Bear is presented by Allstate. Protect yourself from mayhem and save money by switching to Allstate.
The underdog is howling.
Stafford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Welcome in. Week. Can I say it? Snowman? The eight?
Frosty, baby.
It is moving along, Bear. You are alongside. Where are you?
I am in the land of the not yet sun here in Phoenix, getting ready for Thursday night's Cardinals Saints game on Amazon with Kirk.
Okay.
So we flew out here Wednesday morning, 5:45 a.m. Nice early flight. So we got here, did our column, did Daily Wager, did Greg McElroy's show. We did a nice busy Wednesday. And then, after the game, myself and Kinley and whoever else will be flying up to Eugene for College Game Day on Saturday. So a nice little probably. I haven't looked at
another unrisen sun.
Exactly. A nice night, probably about a nice 3-hour flight or so from Phoenix to Eugene. So I would imagine we'll get into Phoenix or get into Eugene around midnight or so. I mean, you figure 5 o'clock tonight, three and a half hour game, 8:15, 8:30, 8:45. I'd say wheels up at 9 just to be safe. So
wheels up, keyword right there.
Yeah, exactly. We wheels up. Kenny D, Todd Deutsch, and Darren Brown and the guys are our friends. So I would imagine we'll hit Eugene around midnight Pacific time tonight. Just look at the schedule. We got an 8 a.m. production meeting. Actually, isn't too bad. And then, so we'll have College Game Day on the air live at 6 a.m. Sunday morning, Saturday morning, rather. And then after another nice little short flight from Eugene to Tuscaloosa for Alabama and Mississippi State on ESPN.
Is that a direct Eugene to Tuscaloosa?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It is a direct. Yeah, they added that Delta added that route for us, especially at about 10 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. So they that was very nice of them to add that route. So we got Alabama, Mississippi State. Then we'll drive to Birmingham Airport Hotel, and then we'll have a nice 6 a.m. flight home on Sunday morning. So yeah, we're crisscrossing the country in all directions this week.
But Red Hot Jets are the 4 o'clock game, so you'll be good to go.
Are they the 4 o'clock? Yeah, that's right. They play your guy Russ, so
of course
they'll be. Yeah, he'll be back. I'm worried about his hammy.
Yeah, just so people know, the Broncos is the right side. Just so you know, that's
I would have thought that Green Bay would have been the right side last week. But I didn't realize how bad the Packers actually are, because you look at the Jets and what they – I mean, you beat Trubisky / Howell in Pittsburgh. You beat Skylar Thompson with the Dolphins. So you figured it would have potentially come crashing back down last week. And then the Packers offense took the field. And you won a game converting one third down and completing 10 passes. Sounds like the Bears. Who obviously, according to Bill Belichick, great juggernaut. It's interesting because I got to see them in person on Thursday night last week, and the description that Coach Belichick had of the Bears didn't exactly match what myself, Kirk, Al, and Kaylee saw. So that's okay.
Yeah, we mentioned Bill going for 7 minutes on the Bears yesterday, and I said, you know what, Bill's not going to do Monday night. Is give you 7 minutes on the Bears. I'll just tell you that one. Past and, you know, prior dealings, we're not going to get that out of them. Very well. I off of last week, and, you know, now it's Thursday morning early. I don't know what else there is to say about last Saturday. It was incredible, you know, exceeded expectations. All that good stuff. I was fortunate enough to be out in Las Vegas and take it all in, because I don't know what I would have done. My three TVs at home would not have been able to keep up. And that's why I thanks again to Dwayne Colucci at the Rampart. Got down to the strip, Blondie Sports Bar. Vaughn and the people there took care of us. Our old friend Tim Murray hooked up with a ride at the airport. Got very a nice steak dinner in Friday night.
Very nice.
So that was thank you to all the people out there. I don't know, like I said, I don't know what else to say. The game spoke for themselves. And going back and watching the tape of Utah-USC, I thought that was more refreshing to watch than Knoxville because of the way I hate seeing games lost like that. Everybody's obviously giving their take on Saban in the play calling with the timeouts late in the game and not giving Tennessee the ball. I get it. But when you're going to be that aggressive, you're going to be on that road, you have the Heisman Trophy winner, you're going to try and keep going. And that's why I think the pass attempts were there. I thought Gibbs, you know, maybe could have had that one, and now it's a totally different ball game. So all that, TCU doing it again, you know, now everybody just – and that's the thing we do in this sport. All right, let's look ahead as far as possible. What does it bring up? You know, a scenario with Bama, Tennessee, and Georgia. And what everybody seems to be missing is Ole Miss is still undefeated also. So you have to include them in your conversation too if you want to talk about the future. But we did some talking on Daily Wager about the futures market in college football. And you brought up Alabama. And you didn't want to overreact to the Alabama loss, correct?
No, I don't. It seems like every time Alabama loses, has the same conversation. But just think of what it took last week for Alabama to lose. It took a special meltdown of a terrible decision to try and field a punt that someone thought it hit another player. It took, 18 penalties was, including that terrible pass interference call at the end of the game, which negated the interception, which probably would have negated an Alabama cover. It took a historic from Hendon Hooker and Jalen Hyde through the air, and it took a field goal sidewinder, one of the ugliest kicks ever, just barely. Think about last year, last two Alabama regular season losses, the A&M lost last year and the Tennessee lost this year. Like think of the field goals that went through that wind up costing the game. It's so ugly. But spinning it forward, how does no one remaining on Alabama's season schedule possesses the ability to do what Tennessee did on offense? Mississippi State's a different type of passing offense. Ole Miss's passing game is not what it's been. Auburn has no offense. LSU, you do have some receivers there, but I don't fully trust Jaden Daniels to do that, and certainly not to the extent that Tennessee and Hooker did. So, I think if you tie up some money for about six weeks or so, the Alabama at plus money to make the playoff is a good bet, because you're getting Alabama at plus money and you ride it out, or B, you're more than likely going to wind up right back in the ACC championship game, and you're going to be favored by a touchdown or so against Tennessee, at least a touchdown. You're a 9-point favorite.
You think so?
Knoxville. Yeah.
Okay.
Or you're going to be a slight favorite over Georgia. So there's an opportunity to get plus back on the other side if you want to get off the bet. So I don't know. I think playing Bama to make the playoff is still the smart play here.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. You know, everybody wants value when they're looking at futures. Yeah, exactly. I get it. Things happen. So
closing line value.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah.
How about this? If you like Tennessee, you think they're the better team, take them to make the playoff, take Georgia to miss the playoff, and then take Tennessee money line when they play Georgia. That's all you got to do. If you want value, there you go. If you're a believer in Tennessee, there's your road. You want plus money on all your – plus money parlays, go ahead, go for it. So there's possibilities out there, but you know, everybody wants to, you know, slam Alabama now, but go ahead. If you're that much of a believer in Tennessee, go for it. It's there for the taking for you now. So there is that. Do you think Alabama fell? I know this is in the dictator of the playoff. Are you good with Alabama fell to 6 and now the undefeateds of Ole Miss, TCU, and UCLA right behind them?
I will be quite honest with going to look at the AP poll this week.
There you go.
Georgia outside of seeing the tweet from someone that had the bottom couple of teams, so NC State was still ranked. Like, once I saw that, I was like, I don't even want to look. I just can't. Yeah. I'm okay with what now. Yeah. Yeah, I am.
Okay. All right.
I think people, like the people out there, like, oh, Tennessee should be ranked number one. Okay. But we're not, the ranking isn't just like, okay, who has the best win? Like, mm-hmm. Still needs to be some sort of power rating component to the poll and to the rankings. Mm-hmm. If you want to rank Tennessee two, sure, I'll buy that. I mean, Ohio State's the best team. I think Tennessee has looked better, certainly offensively, than Georgia, and they saw a better win than Georgia. So, and the great thing is, in a couple of weeks, they're going to play. So it all gets decided there.
I totally agree. I will say, if Alabama is not impressive in this win and UCLA wins, they should be ahead of them. I will say that. I think there's some good. That's a big game. I know people are going to say Oregon, what they did to Georgia. Teams change. We got coaches changing. We got transfers. We got guys that don't practice as much in fall camp, and now they start to get their legs during the season. I think that should be noted. I'm not saying Bama should be ahead of Oregon. I'm just saying undefeated teams. When teams lose prior to, you know, the double-digit weeks, I think they should drop and only be fair to the other teams. If you stay undefeated, good for you. I think that should be still taken into account. Now to this point this season, I will say, you know, talking about the playoff, and we did it on Daily Wager, I don't see undefeated Clemson being left out of the playoff. I don't care what happens. I just see the cachet they bring and knowing, you know, Dabo, the defensive talent, they got their defense healthy. And I look at that road, and it's the Cuse this week, which we'll talk about. It's a road trip to Notre Dame. We don't need to touch on that one, I don't think, anymore. That's what we saw from them last week. And it's home for Louisville, Miami, South Carolina. And then if it were to end today, they would play the winner of North Carolina, Georgia Tech, in the ACC title game. And people will pick apart the road, but I still say undefeated Clemson.
No, I don't think that's a ridiculous step. I think most people would agree with that. You're going to get an Ohio State, Michigan loser. You're going to get a Tennessee, Georgia loser. Like, it's going to. I mean, Ole Miss is going to either Ole Miss or Alabama will lose again. I don't think that's it. I mean, I would think most people with that. I think the question is, do most people think Clemson is going to run the table? I would think. At least to the ACC championship game, yes. And North Carolina is the type of team, even though they're garbage on defense, they got enough skill, and it'll be the best quarterback by far that Clemson has faced all year, where they could potentially put up some points there. Actually, I should Sam Hartman is pretty damn good, so I should.
Yeah, say that. Yeah, but Drake. I mean, like I said, I think I said last week or on different shows, whatever. There's like three quarterbacks in the ACC. All the time we spent before the season, there's like three of them that are playing above my expectations. So don't need to spend any time on that anymore.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you look at this slate this week, I have the biggest group of slop I think I've ever put in the column as far as picks. It's a not sexy weekend as far as rank versus rank matchups, but this is sort of when it happens, man. You got to be careful here. You know, you see some ranked teams playing unranked teams. There's not a lot of double-digit point spreads, as you pointed out. And I will just say, be wary. I don't really want to take any favorites this week. I don't like the look of them. I know Oregon, that jumped out to people, being a six-point favorite over UCLA, who's undefeated. But I'll say this, going through everything, Oregon has owned UCLA. They've won 9 of 10, Chip's 0-3. Bo Nix has 12 touchdowns, one pick since the Georgia game. That one pick was a pick six in the infamous Washington State-Oregon game. So that rings a bell for me. But when I look at this matchup with UCLA and Oregon and watching the tape back of Utah-USC, I do think there's more physicality, capability, better guys on the defensive line in this game with UCLA and Oregon than there was in Utah-USC. It was a phenomenal game. The offensive playmaking, what Dalton Kincaid did was just incredible. Going back, and I tweeted out a couple things just watching it back. Just an incredible night. The belief that Cam Rising has in him, that's what people think of Utah when they want to see Utah, that's why Utah is held in such high regard, is what I'm trying to say. But this number 70.5, and I took the under in this game because I think both teams are going to try and run the ball more than Utah and USC did. I know Oregon got after Utah's defense, but I've said Utah's defense isn't that the same old for the Utes this year. And Oregon does have some talent on the defensive line up front, and there was more familiarity there. They played them there. They went to the Rose Bowl and beat them. So I think UCLA has a good chance to win. It's just weird things happen when you go on the road, man, and it's been a while since they have. I believe their only road game is at Colorado, so they haven't faced any adversity on the road. That's why I'll be careful whether they win or not. So I'm going to go with the under in UCLA and Oregon.
Well, I think, too, you look at the UCLA offense, I think they can do some things that Georgia did in terms of like the misdirection and the way they run the ball, which gave Oregon a ton of problems early in the year. Do you think you need to look at UCLA and like what they've, this is an opportunity for Chip to get a win that he doesn't have. 0-5 versus top 10 teams, and none of them really super close. Whereas he had been so good at Oregon against 10 teams, but at the same time, I think if you look at if UCLA can stay on the field and you look at Oregon's defense, they're like next to last in the country in opponent's third down defense. So like they're not getting teams off the field and regular out, and like, and that's the type of thing that into upsets, staying on the field, wearing defenses down, and I think Chip and that offense really have a chance to do that. I agree with you. I would lean towards taking UCLA plus the points. It feels a little trendy. Dogish, but at the same time, we talked about that last week, how the world had Tennessee and the world had Oklahoma State, and that worked out. So,
yeah, it's amazing how everybody was trying to find the public dog last week. We spent time talking about it, and
we did.
I was wrong. Plenty of people were wrong with Penn State. We'll get to them in a little bit. But, yeah, I think it's going to be another phenomenal rank versus rank game with UCLA and Oregon. But I do think there's more capability in the defense, and that's why I lean towards the under. As far as the column goes, what do you have, sir?
You hit it on the head. This is not a week where I found a whole lot in here right now. The 21 Power 5 versus Power 5 games, 12 games where you had a spread of 7 points or so. It feels like a chance for a lot of close games. It feels like a chance for some underdogs to win outright. There are games right now I put in the column. I'm sure I'll take a look like I did last week and throw some more in there. I got a game tonight. I plus the three against South Alabama. Troy would be undefeated in a league playoff if it wasn't for that miracle Hail Mary. Alabama would be undefeated on the season if it wasn't for that last second field goal against UCLA. Both teams have had a knack for forcing turnovers this year, but I'm going to take the points and go with the better defense on the road. The only favorite I have is Texas Tech, -6.5 against West Virginia. Tech has lost a couple straight since that probable comeback upset win over Texas. They've had some injury concerns as well. They had an off week, but I'm not sure it really matters quarterback against the West Virginia defense. It's allowed 757 pass yards and 7 touchdowns in the last 3 games. They did a well, like a good spot to back them against West Virginia, who had the upset win last week over Baylor. And then I'm sorry to say it, Steve, but I'm going to go with Arizona State this week, getting the 2.5-3 against Stanford. It's just something about a team that was a 16.5 dog, rather, winning outright. Now you're favored, and you watched the game, and I watched the game. I thought that was more just about game than it was like Stanford like doing anything to show that they've truly turned the corner. Arizona State's shown a little bit of license coaching change as well.
No doubt.
Over Washington. So I'm going to go with ASU plus the points. Those are the only 3 things right now I do have in the column.
Thoughts? Okay. On Arizona State, I will say I kind of like the look of them with Borgay at quarterback. Now, people don't know who that is. He's a kid that fits for programs on the 7-on-7 tour. Talking to guys that coached, had teams in that, they couldn't beat him. Borgay's team out of Arizona, he's from Tucson. Obviously, you know, in Tempe, plays in the Washington game, looks great. They score a ton of points, but everybody's done that against Washington. And all reports are that Emory Jones is going to be back at quarterback for Arizona State. So I thought about it. I definitely like Arizona State in the game, but I would like it that much more if Borgay was at quarterback. I feel like there's more of a sense of urgency and decisiveness with him at quarterback, which I like, which I think you need to do, because Arizona State, not like Notre Dame, has more speed at wide receiver, and I think that gives Stanford fits. And credit to Stanford, they gambled and said Notre Dame wasn't going to throw it deep because they don't have any team speed, and they were right, and they took that chance and made the most of that opportunity, getting a much needed win in South Bend. But this is a different animal. I did not take any favorites. I will get my totals out of the way, because who doesn't want to take an over in a Service Academy game? So I'll take the over on the banks of the Hudson at Mikey Stadium, Army, UL Monroe. The teams are scoring plenty, but they're also giving up plenty. Army's, you know, lost their last 3 against FBS opponents. Monroe is just giving up a ton of points.
I tried.
And, you know, they still score.
I tried to make a case for Terry's team.
Okay. I don't know about that side, but I'll take the over at 55. I just think the differences in the styles of offense lead to points in that game. We've seen Army look bad against Georgia State. I'm not sure what's going on. Maybe something with the program, with Munkin, maybe losing guys. I don't know, but it doesn't have the same focus. I think they'll be better. I think they know they have a winnable game here, and I think they'll score plenty. And I think Monroe will have that back door open that usually happens against Army if it does get out of hand. So I like over the total in Army Monroe. That's 55. And why not take 2 overs with Service Academy?
Yeah, do it.
I mean, let's get as ugly as possible.
Navy, Houston, we're going over?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah, Navy. Navy and Houston. Navy never going to give up. We saw that last week against SMU, which featured on Bad Beats. And Houston, we know one of the disappointments from the group of 5, but we know they still have offense. And when you look at Navy's defense, their pass defense is 111th in the country, allowing over 270 yards through the air. So why not? Why can't it be 31-28 Houston, something like that? We'll go over the total with Houston and Navy in what should be a beautiful day here in Maryland over in Annapolis. That is like 70 degrees.
I was just going to say, is that sarcastic or is that like genuine?
No, it's going to be gorgeous. It's been a little chilly the last couple mornings, which is good. You know, we got the NBA back. So, you know, give me a little cold weather.
Yeah. Oh, that was,
so
yeah.
We got it.
Yeah. That was, I saw the Lost on opening night, which kind of a downer. New season starts.
Yeah. We could touch on the NBA in a little bit because we get to watch the Lakers again in primetime tonight. So that's well, awesome.
I'm working tonight, so I can't watch.
Oh, you can get it on the apps.
Well, yeah, that's kind of, I mean, I'm going to be so dialed into, I can't dial into my Lakers and the game that I'm working on. That'll be difficult to do. I just hope they put Russ back in the starting lineup. He needs to start. That's why I heard.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what he said. He said that that's definitely the reason.
By the way, you talked about Houston. I was just laughing. I remembered a preseason bet that I made. I made a preseason bet that, not for much. North Carolina would win the ACC, you would win the Big 12, and Houston would win the American. And I think it was like plus like 51,000 or something like that. I think it came out to be.
Oh, all right.
And Houston's not going to be in the game, though, so that's okay. I've made worse bets.
One underdog I have is UTEP at home. Florida Atlantic coming in off the win off of Rice. Thank God Rice got there to get us a win last week. But when I think about UTEP, last time we saw them at home, they beat Boise State, who's turned it around. That was the game, obviously, where things went south for Boise State making changes on offense. They've looked like a different team. But I just think weird things happen when you go out to El Paso. And I'm not sure how many guys for Florida Atlantic have been out there. But I think UTEP makes it ugly enough and covers the 4. And then one interesting game, just looking at the numbers, I didn't look at the money of where everything is. I would imagine I'm on the public side here. But I look at what has happened between Purdue and Wisconsin recently. Purdue has lost 15 in a row to Wisconsin, which I found mind-boggling. They're 118-1 all time as a dog versus the Badgers. The game is in Madison. And when I look at the schedule, and you know, everybody's just going to think about Purdue and think about the loss to Penn State and the loss to Syracuse and how crazy they were. But this team controls their path to Indianapolis, which is kind of when we start getting to a story here and storylines of the season. You know, it started early. Who the hell is going to play in the Big Ten title game from the West? Who's going to win that? There's a path for Purdue. They still have Illinois on the schedule.
Of course there is. College game day, November 12th, Champaign, Purdue at Illinois.
Oh, another first-timer knockoff? Have you been there?
I don't even know what games are on the 12th. No, we've never been to Illinois. Show has never been to Champaign.
Oh.
I don't even know what games are on the 12th. There's a good Big Sky game that week. I think it's like Eastern Washington, Montana. What do we got on the 12th? We got Georgia and Mississippi State. So Georgia.
That's the week after Georgia, Tennessee.
Yeah, so probably wouldn't do that too. Got TCU at Texas, Alabama at Ole Miss. That's what we're looking at. I'm gonna have to do a self pitch.
Okay.
Purdue and Illinois win there. You've got to win at Wisconsin, and then you've got to beat Iowa. Illinois has at Nebraska.
You got to go to Michigan.
At Nebraska and Michigan State before that game. They got Michigan the after. And it's the final home game too. I got to sell this one hard.
Get the campaign going.
There's a good possibility. They're going to win those games.
Yeah, and that's why I said with Purdue. I mean, if there's ever a time, it's now. Wisconsin, the injury report keeps getting longer and longer. When I go back and look at it, backup running backs out now, so. The capability, I mean, going through Purdue and Aiden O'Connell's numbers, I was looking, he's tops in the Big Ten in passing yards per game, which is crazy still, but he chucks it a lot more playing full games than CJ Stroud. Mm-hmm. But Aiden O'Connell, with Purdue having 3 Super Bowl winning quarterbacks in their program's history, when you think of Drew Brees, you think of Len Dawson, And Greasy, Aiden O'Connell currently is the all-time leader in completion percentage in Purdue history at 68%. And he throws it a hell of a lot more than previous Purdue quarterbacks. So I want to give him credit where it's due. Charlie's been awesome at receiver. Sure, Iowa would like him back with the numbers he's putting up for Purdue. But I think if there's ever a time for Purdue, it's now. And I'll take Purdue plus the points and also UTEP. So those are my five picks for the column. I have three totals and two dogs. When you look at Clemson and Syracuse and then these noon games and you look at Ohio State and Iowa, I'm guessing you're thinking Cuse could score more than Iowa.
I think that's probably a safe bet, even though I'm not sure how much, but at least they have a competent quarterback and a competent running back and a competent wide receiver. They actually division 1A like offensive players.
Mm.
Unlike Iowa.
Yeah. And I mentioned Clemson getting back to healthy. You saw him last week getting Brissett back. And I just think this thing for Clemson is going to start getting rolling. Schrader's been awesome for Syracuse. He's going to need to run for some yardage and keep, you know, first downs alive, whether it's, you know, scrambling or short throws. But I think Clemson's built for that when they bring eight guys in. So I lean Clemson in that game. I don't want anything to do with Ohio State. I will say be wary, Hawkeye fans. I know you are. But Ryan Day pointed out how he still thinks about the loss when Iowa scored 55 on them in their previous matchup. I know that was in Iowa City. But when Ryan Day wants to do something against inferior opponents, especially, that usually happens. So
remember,
just be careful there.
Remember the Michigan State game last year? In
I do.
Yeah, that was kind of – it's kind of going to be – like, and they're talking – like, there's all the talk about, oh, three SEC teams and blah, blah, blah. And I think that there's probably a little bit of a message in the in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center this week. I would – how does Iowa score? I think this could be very reminiscent of the Big Ten Championship game last year, which was, what was it, 51-3, 41-3, something.
Yeah, I stopped watching when Iowa just couldn't do it when they had the ball in the red zone.
It was a lot to a little. Well, getting the ball in the red zone actually is, I mean, that is, I think they have, 12 red zone trips all year or something like that.
Mm.
They have a lot more sacks per dropback than anybody in the country, except for it's so bad.
We'll see. We'll see how that ends up. Other early games, just looking at the docket, Kansas goes on the road again at Baylor, getting 8, 59.5. I don't really want anything to do with that game. You talked about Texas Tech. You like them at home.
You're talking Big 12. Like, what do you want to do with that Texas-Oklahoma State game? Like, there are reports out there that Sanders might not play, and they got a couple linemen potentially injured. I mean, you give away that game at TCU last week, blowing a double digit lead. Like, this is looking to continue that revenge tour. It's what I was Texas minus 6.5 was a lot higher than I thought that number might be.
I totally agree. But if the injuries, there were some things floated late Friday night out in Vegas that Spencer Sanders wasn't going to play against TCU, and that was very interesting. And, you know, that line kept going up, obviously, gave TCU and was on the wrong side of that. But, I mean, I can't get mad at that, seeing what TCU has been through in this stretch that they've been through, going back to the game with SMU, with Sonny Dykes. It's been pretty eye-opening to see what they've been able to do. I think everyone will think the letdown will be coming next week when they go to Morgantown, but I'm not doubting the TCU offense. There's no chance I was a slow start. I mentioned Quentin Johnston last week. The guy's a game changer and a game wrecker. So I wouldn't be surprised if Texas goes in there against Oklahoma State, who, you know, couldn't hold up against TCU. Texas brings a whole different thing to the table. I think their run game's way better than TCU. I will give them that. But Texas still didn't show me that they're ready to take the next step last week with that lackluster performance against Iowa State, who went for, when I looked it up, last week was the first time Iowa State went for over 400 yards since week one, and that was an FCS opponent. I believe it was Southeast Missouri. So I don't want anything to do with that game, and I for sure atop the list of games I don't want anything to do with is Ole Miss going to LSU. And now LSU is favored.
Correct.
If you really like Ole Miss, then good for you. I don't feel that comfortable with them. And going back and looking at the numbers, they're 1-9 in their last 10 trips to Baton Rouge. And when I watched LSU back, they got some good things going in that run game now. They incorporated Daniels. They do have game changers at wide receiver. It looks like Booty wanted to play last week. He goes for 6 for over 100 yards. If that's going to be the case, Ole Miss has given up a bunch of points lately to not good offenses. This LSU is not offense is not great, but they're better than the teams that Ole Miss has given up points to. So that's why I think you see them as a favorite. And I think you're still looking for that stamp win for Brian Kelly at home. This is a great, great chance for LSU.
Yeah, I think people number as well. And like unranked team, favorite over a top 10 team. And it happens more than you think. It happened 5 times last year. You had an unranked team favored over a top 10 team, and 3 of those 5 unranked teams won the game. An interesting one of the ones that was Mississippi State, who was favored at home against a top 10 team, Ole Miss, last year. So like, I wouldn't just say I like LSU because of that. I think you do need to read a little, if you want to say, which was what I would lean toward. You look at LSU, you look at Ole Miss and how they very easily could have lost to Kentucky. Yeah. You might even want to say probably should have. How they allowed Auburn to move the ball and score points and hang around in that game is what was amazing to me. And at LSU, with Daniels coming off his best game against a bad Florida defense, like, It would seem to me that Ole Miss, that LSU would be the side I would play, but again, I'm not feeling like super great about it. Just total
toss. With you there. Going down the slate, I can't believe I know it's FIU on one side, but Charlotte is given 14.5. 14.5. And Missouri is given 14 to Vandy. You can have those games. I don't want anything to do with those. Going down the Mountain West, I think things are going to start to get real weird. There's a good game with Air Force and Boise. I'm not sure the side on that. I watched and had Air Force last week. I did not go to the Big Al to see Air Force and UNLV. I watched that one on the tube, but we had Air Force, so that was a good one. But now they get New Mexico. They get Boise State. San Jose State goes on a tricky spot, giving 21.5 to our Aggies in Las Cruces. Huge
win. Got the win last week. Got the win.
And Fresno still looks like it doesn't have Hayner. They're giving double digits at New Mexico. So the other one was Utah State is a dog at Wyoming. I don't know what to do there. And San Diego State, seeing them given 7, but then looking on the underside and seeing that it's Reno, I don't, but I could see all those games are going to be not normal. I'll just say that.
I was going to say those are 6 games right there. He'll be all over those games, but we didn't mention K-State.
No, go ahead.
Yet, did we? Just gonna get me. That's another one of those games that we've talked about this one earlier in the week on Daily Wager, and like it's hard to it really feels like Kansas State are past in this spot just because of the like what TCU has had to do each week, the SMU game, the Oklahoma game, the Kansas game, the comeback against Oklahoma State, like week after week after week, like the emotional games, rivals, comebacks that they've been involved in. Now you got to do it again that is well-coached, well-disciplined. They got Adrian Martinez, who's playing the best football of his career. It reminds me a lot of, I think it was 2008, when Texas in the Big 12 had that run of like four or five consecutive good conference opponents and ranked teams, and then finally they got beaten the last one against Texas Tech on the road. For my future ticket, I'm hoping TCU gets the win, but I think this one is
KC. Yeah, you look at TCU's road, and this one I think in Texas obviously are the biggest ones, because with everybody playing everybody, you know, the tiebreakers are going to be huge if people have the same amount of losses. So it's funny, man. You brought up 2008. That was the year of the Big 12 and felt like game day. You know, that was one of the first years I started traveling, and it was Lubbock. It was Austin. It was Norman. You were there every week, and the teams were right there. And the way – that's the one thing I think back to when people were talking about this SEC tiebreaker with Bama, Tennessee, and Georgia possibly, is that year with Texas, Oklahoma, and Texas Tech. And Oklahoma having that late game against Texas Tech ended up being the difference, because I think they went out and put 60 on them. But the way that fell, when Texas beat Oklahoma, and then Texas Tech beat Texas, and then Oklahoma beats Texas Tech. So it'll be more clear, I think, with what happens. But when you get to this point, you got to win the games. So we'll see what happens, the way those things play out in the Big 12. I just feel like TCU is formidable. They have enough offensive firepower. You mentioned the things. When you want an underdog on the road to go off and pull it off, Kansas State has everything you want. You know, Klieman's won three times already against the top 10 team as head coach of Kansas State. Martinez hasn't thrown a pick. Deuce Vaughn could score from anywhere on the field. And I think now they're tied for fifth in turnover margin in FBS with a +8 Kansas State is. So those are the things you want. You want to be able to turn over the opponent, run the ball, and keep the other star offense off the field. So K-State has everything you want. You said it on Daily Wager yesterday. K-State's decide or pass for me in that game. But it's a phenomenal game. I believe that's a night game. In Fort Worth, which I don't feel like we see a lot, which could get interesting.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Two games in Power 5 conferences I wanted to touch on with you. It seems like the health of quarterback is going to be a factor in Minnesota and Penn State. Do you have anything there?
Yeah, I wouldn't expect Cam Morgan to play. That's how I'm handicapped for the game. And I would expect to see some Drew Aller as well for Penn State. But I'd be very, very surprised if we saw Cam on Saturday. So I would proceed with your handicapping as if he isn't playing.
Yeah, my assessment was wrong about Penn State. I thought the defense would hold up against Michigan, and Michigan just rolled their sleeves up. Did you see the video at halftime of Franklin and Harbaugh? Oh,
no, I didn't.
Look that one up.
No, I saw the post game about I saw him, Jimmy Franklin, complaining about Donald. And I will say this, it is really tight in there, and maybe you do need to figure out a way to stagger the teams running into the – I don't know. Whatever. I'm have to look it up now.
You could check that out. It's pretty telling. And then the second half happens. So it's not great for Penn State. I thought there would be more. The halftime. What did you? You don't remember what a second half line was on that game, do you?
No, I'm sorry. I did not have one handy. I didn't dial that in. That would have
been smart. Seeing how Penn State was able to hang around in that first half. A&M -3 at South Carolina. You could have this game also.
you can have this game.
You know, it's a night game for South Carolina. They love those there. A&M, last time we saw them, they got left in the 1 yard line against Alabama. But it's just like I'm getting to this point to see it. There's a trust factor. Like, I don't trust either side. I was wrong so far about South Carolina. I don't see them getting to 6 wins for that season win total. The quarterback is. He's been an upgrade at what they've had previously, but there's still some just indecisiveness and not giving his receivers an offensive line a chance when you watch him back. You know, the skittishness in the pocket, I think, is what people didn't like at Oklahoma when he was there. And it's still like looks like he has that habit. So you could have that game. We'll be watching, but don't want anything financially involved in that game.
What would I have to do to allure a bet on Cal this week?
Ooh. From
off of that awful, embarrassing performance last week in Boulder, getting Washington.
Not as much as you think.
You know these are the types of dogs and games that are going
to come
through, right? Like the Cal is probably
yes, win. Because I mean, when you talk on the field, I get the circumstances and the situation why people are going to come in on Cal, but that Washington secondary, man, is atrocious. And if Cal could just put anything together, you know their defense is going to be better than what Arizona could put against Washington or what Arizona State could put against Washington. So not as much as you think. I could see that. I mean, putting that game on in the fourth quarter and watching Cal just, you know, do what Pac-12 teams do when they need a chance to take a next step, the old pee down the leg. And that's what happened in Boulder. But you know what? I will say good for Colorado. Good for Colorado. Nobody wants to see them go winless unless you have one.
I did
on the season win total, I guess. But yes, I think.
Yeah. I had a half. I played that adjusted under over a half. Like, funny thing is, if you go back and look in my weekly note, my primer note last week, I think I wrote in there, I need to mention Colorado. It might be the only game left this year that Colorado can win. And of course, I didn't play any CU back on the money line, which, well, what I regret so well.
Yeah. Speaking of teams we can't trust, Pitt and Louisville. I almost put Pitt on there, but night game in Louisville, that's going to get weird. You know it is.
Malik will be back.
I expect Pitt to win the game, and that's why that line is – I thought it would be a pick 'em, but you can have it.
Must put it opened.
Was it?
Opened
okay.
Pick.
So, yeah. All right. We got some Malik Cunningham believers out there. I think a game that will show up on winners tonight is UCF -5 against ECU. Just saying, short home dog, UCF. Last time we saw him put up, 70? I think that could be finding its way into against winners Temple, tonight with old Mr. Van Pelt. And other than that, I don't see much. Tulane, first game ranked, giving 7 to Memphis. Don't want anything in that one. James Madison, another double digit favorite off a loss against Marshall. Marshall has not looked great, I'll say.
Oh, Marshall hasn't beaten an FBS team outside of Notre Dame. They got two. They got a win against Notre Dame and a win against FCS teams and lost their. That's what I said last week. Stanford beat Colgate. Marshall won their FBS games and they beat Notre Dame. Those teams haven't beaten another FBS.
I need to look at the Sun Belt. Wow. Look at those standings. Old Dominion in first and South Alabama in first. Wow, tonight's a huge one in the Sun Belt. Because Troy could get to first place, and they'll have – that would give them two more conference wins than South Alabama in the division. And Old Dominion fresh off that win over Coastal. Wow. That's going to be – wow, Marshall's dead last, 0-2 in the Sun Belt.
We all had Old Dominion in first, right?
Yeah.
We all had that.
Man, that's why it's a great conference. Anybody can beat anybody. You talk about different kind of road trips. Look at those road trips those teams have in that conference. That's going to be fascinating to see how this plays out. Now, can James Madison play in? I know they can't go to a bowl. Can they? They can't even play in the conference title game.
I shouldn't have said that. I thought I should let you say the question. I thought you were going to say bowl. I honestly don't know. I can't. I remember in hoops they didn't even allow the
conference. Yeah, but I thought I saw one of those small conference basketball tournaments. They did play, and which made no sense. And the loser of the final went to. So you had the losing team.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. Was it Merrimack who won, but
Something like that. I don't know why that's even a rule. I still don't understand. If the team's good enough, you're trying to tell me they don't want to go. Dumb. You're just setting yourself up for a handcuff situation for the whole season.
All right. There was actually a story written the way, even if James Madison goes 8-0 in the Sun Belt, the Dukes are unable to play in the Sun Belt championship game or a bowl game. If they win the number two team will go to the conference title.
Huh. It is. So that's going to be – I don't see Georgia State getting there over last night. Thank you for hanging around and kicking a field goal and getting that under in there for us against App State. Georgia Southern.
By the way, you know what? We're going to make our own bowl game.
All right.
Against Madison. We should do that. We need an unofficial bowl game.
We'll play it at the Rent. Let's play it at the Rent.
Play it somewhere. At the
Rent. East Hartford. Airport's right there.
Get fitting, and we'll see if we can get called the McAfee Bowl. See if we get McAfee involved and maybe do a show. I mean, throw a bowl game on the air, right?
We'll get it going.
Exactly. James Madison, and maybe what we do, you take James and you pick – all the teams that didn't qualify for bowls, just pull a name out of a hat, and that's
all right. And then we'll get the hat to be the sponsor.
Have some fun with
it. Be good.
Exactly. Yeah, we'll get the game head,
the old cursive
star. This game's head. Exactly right. They can sponsor the bowl.
There's always mayhem in the Sun Belt Conference, and I can't wait to see how it plays out. But looking at the standings, this mayhem moment is brought to you by Allstate. Protect yourself from mayhem and save money by switching to Allstate. Did you see the Duke North Carolina game?
No.
Gotta feel bad if you're Duke.
No, I was working. I heard our North Carolina grad. He had the game. Literally, our game got over in Tallahassee last week, and we got in the car. He had the game cast up in the car and just in time for the final play.
Tough one. Touchdown overruled, and then it didn't go well for the old Dukies. Any interest? Indiana +3 at Sunge. Northwestern +13 and a half at the Snake Pit.
Oh. How's the quarterback?
They said day to day. I did see Loxley they had been going back and forth. Leah didn't want to wear the knee brace. Locks wanted him to wear it, and then ended up saving him wearing it. They said he re-aggravated a MCL, so we'll see. But this is a Northwestern just muck it up perfection.
Awful. Yeah. Awful, just disgusting. So,
just how top-heavy is the Big Ten?
Oh, it's – There's greater separation between Ohio State and Michigan and the rest of the Big Ten than there is Clemson and the rest of the SEC. I'm saying that for for a while. The bottom of the Big Ten is just disgusting.
Yeah, it's I don't know how to assess it because, you know, people are going to start coming in on Ohio State's wins. I get it, but it's still a Power Five conference. Like, I understand the teams aren't good.
So
it's going to be a conversation. You know that.
It's people in 2013. Oh, the ACC sucks. Florida State. Oh, they're no good. You don't have to have this unbelievable strength of schedule to be a legit good team. Like, you got to watch it and like the power ratings and watching teams play and the efficiency that the opera, like, you can see what a good team is.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be. They were the ultimate, like strength of schedule on one end and actually dominance and how great they were efficiency wise and historically on the other. Of course, they wound up going on to win the national
Correct. And I will say, when we're looking down the road, I don't want to spend a ton of time on it because games are going to be played and things are going to change. But if we start comparing, if Michigan does lose to Ohio State and there's a conversation for one loss teams, they're going to be stuck in it with the non-conference they played. That I think that's going to get held yes. against them. Yeah.
As they should. If there is someone, is a comparable team that you're weighing them against, that's okay. We think these two teams are just as good as each other. That absolutely should.
And another team that should be wary of that is UCLA. UCLA, has, I mean, from what they played in the out of conference.
I want it. You were supposed to play this year in Michigan, bought the game.
Really? Michigan, UCLA. Right? Yeah, you're right.
I'm 99% sure that I shouldn't have said it before.
So that should be another to add it to the list of not good things to Michigan's resume.
Michigan terminated. I'm going to look at a 2019 article right here. Michigan terminated a home and home in 22 and replaced those games with Hawaii and East Carolina.
All right.
So we drop UCLA and we pick up Michigan paid UCLA $1.5 million
I imagine that was in the case against Under Armour also, or UCLA was looking for some cash. So that probably worked out. Alabama. Thoughts, brutal circumstances with Mississippi State. I don't have anything to offer there. I don't know how you get yourselves focused to practice. And then you have Alabama coming in off a loss, or you got to go to Tuscaloosa for that game. So obviously thoughts and prayers are with the people in Starkville and in that community for just a brutal situation. But I just it's not for me to point out anything when you're talking about the game or side you like. There's way more important things going on there.
Yeah, I was gonna say you feel dirty, like even like seeing the game and just how they haven't scored a touchdown in Tuscaloosa in quite and like what the score. It's a stupid game. Which comes to shove.
I'm with you there. All right. Anything? What were your preseason NBA picks? You're in on the Nuggets, huh? That didn't go well last night.
I did. Yeah. No, I was unaware of who they even played last night. I saw someone say that they played Utah, and I guess Utah scored like 70 something points in the first half. I bet the Nuggets be the one seed in the West and to win the West.
Okay.
Which I mean, you figure there are a bunch of teams in the West who. You're going to be dealing with load management and potential injuries, and not like the Nuggets are injury proof, but you would think they're a team that would probably want that one seed a lot more than say Golden State or whomever else. So
thought it was worth a shot. Yeah, I'm all in on Blazers under, and that did not get off to a good start as the old Sacramento Kings did it again and blew a game late. So those.
But that's the great. I am so looking forward to this as the year goes on. I will be firing money line parlays like every day against all these terrible teams that are just gonna want to lose.
And there's plenty of those.
The tanking is gonna be awesome.
Sweet.
You could probably bet against like San Antonio and Indiana like every night on the money line.
Man, that's not pretty.
It's fantastic. That's
roster. I was going through it. Wow. Not great. And my thing is I'm going to start counting games played for the top players, because I can't wait to see the load management start. Like, oh yeah, you know, we're going to take this one off. You played one game so far and you know it's coming in the next week.
Yep.
So there's your NBA preview. All right, Big Mike, happy recap.
Big Mike, happy recap.
I'm going with the over in the Navy game, the over in the Army game, the under in the UCLA game, and give me UTEP plus the points and Purdue plus the points.
I'm going to take Troy plus the three tonight in South Alabama, Texas Tech minus 6.5 against West Virginia, Arizona State plus 2.5 versus Stanford. I'm going to get an Iowa team total in that game potentially once it comes out and goes under. And that's all I got this week right now. But be sure to check the column out come Friday afternoon, Saturday morning. I might want
it. Yep, could be some updates coming in there. All right, my man. Well, all those travels, travel safe. We will do this again next week, and we'll be in touch for sure over the weekend. Please take us away.
Must you bet, the more you lose when you win.
You can listen or follow the Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Plus, don't miss more from Stanford Steve on ESPN SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. And check out the Bear on College Game Day on ESPN.